You are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
Anyone thankful that they're a new creation in Christ because of what Jesus did for you? Oh, come on, I think we need to give some praise to Jesus today in this place. He's worthy of it, amen? Amen, amen. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. We're a new creation in Christ because of what he's done on the cross. But that still doesn't affect the reality of the world that we live in, because how many know in this world there's still ups and downs? There's still mountains and valleys. There's still seasons of troubles, and there's still seasons of triumphs. There's still seasons with depression and anxiety, and then there's seasons of rejoicing. And there's seasons where we're blessed and promoted at work, and there's also seasons of difficulty and loss. And so what do we do? How do we balance the tension? How do we manage the ups and downs of life? Today, as we continue this message, I want to talk in a theme that I believe is more relevant now to us than ever in the history of this world. We're going to talk about the pursuit of fame, the valley of the pursuit of fame. See, a lot of you probably right now are thinking, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I think it would be a pretty mountainous experience if I had a lot of money and if I was successful and if I was recognized in our community or if I was famous in some regard. I think that would be a great thing. I think I would have a lot of happiness. I think that I would have a lot of joy. See, never before in the history of our world have we had this need to be known, this need to be validated, this need to be followed, this need to be famous. Scripture says this, you want to find joy in a world that is unjoyful. You want to find peace in a world that is crazy and chaos and out of control. You fix your eyes on Jesus, not on your fame. You fix your eyes on the King of Kings, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. The text says this, for the joy before him, he endured the cross. Picture that. You're an enemy to God, Scripture says. In your sin, in your old lifestyle, in your ways that are only acknowledging your benefits and your wants. And Scripture says this, God sent his son Jesus, and it was a joy for him to give his life for you. We want to talk about sacrifice. We want to talk about giving it all so that we could be at the right hand of God, so that we could also be co-heirs with Christ. You want to find joy in a world that is constantly down? You want to find peace in a world that is chaotic? You will find that in Christ alone. Listen, until Jesus is all that you have, you'll never realize that Jesus is all that you need. See, many of you are going to say in this message right away, Pastor Dan, this isn't for me. I have no desire to be famous. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have two kids. I have no desire to be the next movie star. You may actually be surprised in the ways that we all are in some pursuit of fame or recognition. In fact, I'm going to argue that the majority of us in this room aren't in full pursuit of fame. We're in what I call these micro cravings for fame. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want to be recognized. I'll give you an example. Maybe you're here today, and you find yourself as the yes person. You say yes to everybody and yes to everything, right? So your boss comes up to you at work and asks you to stay all these extra hours and do all these extra tasks and all these extra things, and you can't say anything but yes. Yes, 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 I'll do it. You know, one of the pastors comes up to you at the church and gives you 1,000 more tasks to do, and you say yes all, and I'll do it all. Yes, 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 yes. You know, you come home and you take your kids to school, and there's all these extra committees, and you can't say no. You say yes to every committee, every extra school activity, and what you become is this empty well. You have nothing to draw from emotionally or spiritually, but you're so longing for the approval of people, you can't help but say yes to everybody. Maybe you're here today and you're just absolutely crushing your job at work. You got assigned the biggest project in the company, and you did great. The client is super pleased with you. All of your coworkers were telling you what a great job that you did, but you just have this longing deep within you, this longing within you for recognition. You just want to be recognized by the boss. You want to be promoted. So you go into the boss's office the day after the project is signed and said, hey, boss, do you have any feedback for me? How'd I do? Did I do okay? Did I do good? There's this deep longing within you for approval, acceptance, and recognition. And now, thanks to social media, perhaps the greatest game changer in our lives, in the history of the world, of this micro-graving for fame, because we're constantly living for the approval of people in the things that we post. We're constantly posting things and wondering. Now you can measure your popularity based on the amount of likes and followers you have on Instagram and social media. Right? It's crazy, right? And so we measure our popularity. We measure our worth. Did you like my post? Did you like my picture? Did you like what I said about this topic? Did you like what I did about this? We have these deep, deep cravings. I want to be known. I want to be recognized. I want to be needed. And maybe you're here today and you're still saying, well, this doesn't apply to me, Pastor Dan. This message isn't for me. Well, it's for your kids and grandkids then. Because they did some research, and they've researched a bunch of 10 to 12-year-olds, and here's what statistics tell us in 10 to 12-year-old kids. Their number one goal, their top desire in life is not for financial security, it's not to be rich, it's not for success or achievements, it's not for relationship status, it's not to get married, it's not to have kids. Their number one desire in life is to be famous. Resoundingly, amongst 10 to 12-year-olds. In fact, if you're in here today and you're between the ages of 22 and 37, I want you to raise your hands for a moment. 22 to 37. Here's what statistics also tell us. You can keep your hands up for a moment. 22 to 37. Statistics also tell us that half of you think your life is so important that it should be made into a movie. I'm laughing along with the other crew. We're the other 50%. We're laughing because we're not going to watch a movie about your life. We're going to see Aladdin or The Lion King. Amen? Right? We're streaming the Avengers Endgame for the fifth time. Like, that is good content, not your life. I'm sorry. But this is the world that we live in. 10 to 12-year-olds think the number one thing in their life, what it all boils down to, is be famous. And 22 to 37-year-olds think their life is so important that it should be made into a movie. I'll take it further. Can you believe in 1 in 12 people would actually disown their family to become a household name? 1 in 6 would give up having children forever to be famous. And the percentage floats up based upon whose kids you're around, if you know what I'm saying. And it's not just on social media today, and it's not just in our homes, and it's not just in our jobs. This craving for fame, if I can be really honest and really transparent with you, I think it's snuck into the American church. You know, you're serving in a ministry team and you don't feel recognized. Why didn't they do a post about me on the social media page? I haven't been appreciated for anything I do. This church, they're never appreciating me. Can I just get some recognition around here? I'll be really honest with you. A couple years back, I really struggled with this. I saw a bunch of big churches that were doing what I thought was incredible things, and the lights and the production and thousands of people giving their lives to the Lord. And I said, what do I have to do to kind of get that status? What do I have to do to kind of get that job? And it's really hollow and it's really shallow. It's been going rampant even in our culture today, in the worship culture that we have across church platforms. If you didn't hear this week, there was a famous worship leader, as we call it, celebrity worship leader, which, once again, we're putting people on pedestals who should never be on pedestals, as they're working out their salvation, working out their faith, and we think that they're the chief voices and theologians of the generation. Well, they're still learning how to follow Jesus at times, right? And this person came out, and he hasn't been with Hillsong for a couple years, but he made a comment saying he doesn't know where he's at in his faith anymore. He's not sure where he's at. He's not sure where it is. And, you know, it's kind of landed in one of two camps. Some people have just started bashing him. And the other camp is kind of saying, what do we do with our faith? If this person fell away from the Lord, where do we be? They were such a great leader. They were such an influence in my life. What do I do now with my faith? And listen to me. There's nothing wrong with being talented. There's nothing wrong with having gifts in children's ministry or gifts of worship or gifts to preach. A gift is really powerful. A gift can fill up a room. But listen, it's the anointing that breaks the chains. See, we see so many people in the American church today, and they come in bound and they leave bound. Why? Because a gift won't break a chain, only anointing will. See, some people can light up a room, but nothing has actually happened in our hearts. See, let me just remind you of this morning, church. If the light that is on you shines brighter than the light that is within you, the light that is on you will destroy you. So Jesus is king. He's kind of a big deal. He is the big deal. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. All glory and honor. We just sang about it in the third song. Praise and honor belongs to him. And let me just remind you of this. No matter how big of a wig you think you wear in this community, or how many people you know in this church, or how many followers you have on social media, let me just give you a revelation of how big your role is in this world. You are one of 8 billion people. So no matter how big a part you play, how known you are, leader of this company, leader of this organization, leader of this church, doing this, doing that, followers on social media, you are 0.001% of humanity. And I think we just have to kind of acknowledge that and just wrestle with this tension as America and our culture today consistently says, promote yourself more, live for the approval of others, put it out there, get likes. And let me just remind you of this. If you live for the approval of others, you'll die at their disapproval. And see, we're raising up our world today and the next generation of people who are putting everything out there. They're living for the approval. They're living for the audience of the world and not for an audience of one, Christ. I'm not here to fully bash on this morning. All I'm saying is this: what good would it be to gain the whole world, yet forfeit your soul? You know what scripture says? What good would it be to have all the money? What good would it be to have the house and the car? What good? It's not wrong to have stuff. It's wrong when stuff has you. It's not wrong to have influence and fame. It's wrong when that has your heart. What good would it be to gain the whole world, yet forfeit your soul? Now, I just kind of mentioned it a little bit, but I want to just pause for one moment, and I want to be absolutely really clear. It's not wrong to be famous. There's nothing wrong with having influence. There's nothing wrong with being a great leader. There's nothing wrong with getting recognition if you worked really, really hard on a project. In fact, you can actually make an argument in some cases in the Bible that God actually made people famous at times. I'll give you two examples. In the Old Testament, David is a great example. First Chronicles chapter 14, when David was obedient to God, God made him famous. This is what scripture says. So David did as God commanded him. David was faithful and he was obedient. And his army, they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. I think that word Gezer is funny. I'd be down for striking down the Gezers too, right? Just because that name's funny. That's funny. See that, and that jumped out to me. Scripture says, David's fame spread throughout every land. The Lord made all of the nations fear him. Evidently, God made David famous. Another example in the Bible is Solomon. God comes to Solomon and says, you can have whatever you want. What do you want? And Solomon says, wisdom. And God says, I'm so proud of you because you said wisdom, what is right in my eyes, I will give you riches, I'll give you fame. There's multiple instances of the Bible where God promotes people, where God gives people fame. It's not wrong to have recognition at your job. It's not wrong to have a lot of likes on your posts on social media. It's not wrong to be famous. I'm just saying, listen very carefully though, because that pursuit of fame takes your eyes off of God and your eyes off of others. You know where it places it? Square on yourself. If being a follower of Jesus is this: know God and make him known, love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, if that's what Christianity boils down to, then it's really, really hard for me to love God and love others if my eyes are constantly squared on how many people like my post and how many people say good things about me at work and where I'm getting promoted to in my next area. It's really hard to focus on God and also focus on yourself. See, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Tim Keller says this: the Christian gospel is this: I am so flawed that Jesus had to die for me, yet I am so loved, I am so valued that Jesus was glad to die for me. This leads me to deep humility and deep confidence at the same time. Here he says it again: I do not think more of myself nor less of myself. Instead, I think of myself less. Once again, not wrong to have influence. Not wrong to have fame, not wrong to have recognition. I'm just saying, be very, very careful. What good would it be to have all the likes? What good would it be to have all of the approval? What good would it be to have all the validation, yet miss out on seeking first the kingdom of God, loving God and loving others? Fame in this world is temporary. Influence in this world is temporary. Eternity is forever. What good would it be to gain the whole world, yet forfeit your soul? What's really fascinating to me is we think about the subject today of fame in our culture and culture and influence and media and social media, and it's amazing how things have actually changed in our culture today. If you look back throughout the decades or the centuries, the nature and the accessibility of fame is far different today than it's ever been. If you go back a couple decades, even a couple centuries, to be famous, you had to do something I don't know, like famous, memorable, significant. You could be an actor, an actress. You were a really good athlete. You went to the moon for the first time as an astronaut. You were an inventor. You had to do something actually, I don't know, noteworthy to be famous. Today in our culture, you can become famous over anything. Due to the rise of YouTube, you can post one video and be a great guitar player and try out for American Idol, and you can become famous overnight. Or you can become famous like this lady in this video that they're gonna start playing. And I absolutely hate this video, and I hate watching this stuff. And if you watch this stuff, this lady is eating spicy noodles. And she got a video of herself, and if they turn it up, which it's painstakingly awful to listen to, it's terrible, it makes you cringe. You can hear the sound of her eating. She's put a camera in front of her face. She has 14 million views on this video and 2 million subscribers. She makes over six figures every year by eating spicy noodles. You can be famous for being amazing, or you can be famous for making interesting content of spicy noodles. It's crazy how accessible fame has become in our culture. This lady is famous for eating spicy noodles. I'll tell you about another kid who grew fame overnight. His name is Alex. They're going to show you a picture of him. Alex from Target. True story. Somebody's whistling. I think he's cute. Apparently, the girl did as well. Alex was 16 years old. He had 144 followers on Twitter. And this girl walked through his line, thought he was cute, snapped the picture and posted it to his Twitter and tagged him and called him Cute Alex from Target. By the end of the day, he had over 300,000 followers and he interviewed on CNN the next day. Fame overnight. Out of control, fame and recognition. So we see this in our culture. And it's literally hardwiring the ways that we think and process. We don't know how to process it anymore. And so now we're in this longing of, this could be the next big post. This could be the next big promotion at work. This could be the next big thing. I'm finally going to get the validation that I need at home. I'm finally going to get the recognition that I should have in my church. And we think that everything is going to draw more attention to us instead of pointing people to Christ. It's a dangerous, difficult world to live in, and if we're not careful about constantly keeping the focus on Christ, we'll always place it back on ourselves. Place it back on yourselves. See, that's why 1 Peter 1:7 says this, the genuineness of your faith, genuine, real, authentic, biblical faith, what is that? Loving God and loving others, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tried by the fire, may that be found to result in praise, glory, honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter's saying these words, oh, church, Calvary Church of Delran, I hope that you would wake up this morning. I hope that you would get one taste of the goodness of God. I hope that you would get one revelation of his greatness. I hope that you would experience his presence and worship through the message for one moment, because once you taste and see one moment of his presence, that changes everything. Once you experience his goodness and his grace and his mercy for you and his love for you while you were a sinner far from him, your desire won't be for yourself, but it'll be for the Lord daily. And as you seek him daily and as you walk with him, you know what James 4 says? Draw near to the Lord and he'll come near to you. As you make that pursuit about focusing on God, you know what? The desire for yourself becomes less. And the desire for others recognizing you and living for the approval of others becomes less. Be very, very, very careful that the pursuits of recognition, the pursuit of, and listen, I'll just be honest with you, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Like, if anybody loves to get a nice pat on the back and to be encouraged, love language, words of encouragement right here. Like, temperament, full sanguine. Like, love to be encouraged. Love to have words of life spoken into me. But I can't live for the approval of others more than the approval of God. It has to be for the Lord first. Be very, very careful that the pursuit of fame draws our hearts away from God and away from others. Don't believe me. Don't believe the lady who makes spicy noodles. Don't believe Alex from Target, who no longer has his Twitter page. He had to shut it down because he couldn't deal with the fame. Depression, anxiety, stress, had to go to counseling. Believe Jim Carrey, who said this, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything that they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer. I think every person should be rich. I think every person should be famous so they can know that money does not buy happiness. What is the answer then? The answer is found in Christ and Christ alone. I can do all things through Christ. Until Christ is all that you have, you'll never realize that Christ is all that you need. The answer is not found in this world. The answer is not found in the applaud of others. The answer is found for living for an audience of one, and that's Jesus. And I think as we look in the Bible, we see somebody who got this right, who had the opportunity to receive recognition and accolades and glory. But instead, he always diffused that and pushed it the opposite way and pushed it to the answer that was coming. And that's John the Baptist. John the Baptist was kind of a crazy prophet. He dressed in animal skins. He ate wild locusts and honey. Probably ate a couple spicy noodles from time to time. And he created a following and a crowd. And he said, I'm here to come prepare the way. Evidently, he was so charismatic. He was so gifted. And a lot of his teachings were, repent, for there's somebody coming after me. He started to grow a crowd. He started to grow influence. He started to grow popularity. And people would come behind him and say, are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Surely, John, you're the Messiah. We want to follow you. And listen, if John lived in today's culture, his answer might have been, you know, I'm not really the Messiah, but I at least got to build my brand in the process. You know, get a couple clips of me preaching really, really well, and let's cut them down and splice them. We can sell them as resources to other people. You know, I am kind of gifted. I got to build my following first on social media. Get some nice pictures of me. I got to take care of myself financially first and my kids and my family. No, John didn't say any of those things. What John said instead was, the one coming after me is Jesus, and I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. And he reflects these words in John 3:30. Here's what he says to us. He says, he must become greater and I must become less. Jesus must become greater and I must become less. More and more, I want you to see more and more of him and less of me, because it's never been about me. It's never going to be about me. It never will be about me. It's about one person, and his name is Jesus. Hope has a name this morning. His name is Jesus. See, you know, throughout all of creation, there's been this battle of, I want to be in control. I want to be God. I want to be in charge. Even from the beginning of time, right? Lucifer is in heaven, worship leader, second in charge, and it was his goal to be in charge. He thought he should have been God. And because pride and arrogance and this validation from even others kind of crept into his heart, he said, I will be God. The Lord cast me. He said, I can't deal with that. He must become greater. I must become less. He must become greater. I must become less. So how do we function? How do we represent Jesus in our culture then today? How do we do this? When the number one desire of a 10 to 12-year-old is to be famous. How do we do this when 22 to 37-year-olds, half of us, think that our life is so important it should be made into a movie and watched by others? How do we do this in a social media-driven culture that says, get your likes and your validations and build your brand and build your worth off of the likes and comments of others? It all boils down to motive, but I want to give us two questions and two responses that we need to have. The first one is this, if you're taking notes. Who are you representing? Who are you representing? When you show up, when you post, when you talk, who are you representing? And please just don't give that Sunday school answer of Jesus. Because it's the right answer, and I'm asking us if we'd maybe take down the mask for a couple minutes and be real, and it's the right answer, and it's the truthful answer, and hopefully it's the answer we're going to, but so many times, if you're like me, our motives are not always towards honoring Jesus first. They're towards ourselves. Listen, I'll be really, really honest with you. There's been seasons of my own life where I've stepped up here to the platform, and my motives have been, I wonder what good things people are going to say to me after the sermon. I wonder what they're going to post on social media. I wonder what they're, I'm going to preach this word. Maybe I'll be a little bit softer this week because I kind of want to, you know, live to the approval of people instead of living for an audience of one. Where are your motives this morning? And see, that's why you have to get before the Lord, and you have to do as David did. You have to say, search my heart, oh God. God, know me. Know me. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way within me. God, where have I broken your heart this week? Where have I made it about me instead of about you and people? Where have I done it? And then lead me in the way everlasting. Show me, teach me, train me in the way to follow you and live for you and for you alone. Paul says these words in 2 Corinthians 5:20. If you're wondering who you are today and who you're representing, listen to what 2 Corinthians 5:20 says. It says this, we are Christ's ambassadors. Let's all say that together. We are Christ's what? We are Christ's what? Ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, you are representing Christ. You are his ambassador. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat sent from one nation to another to represent their home territory.
So if you're a follower of Christ today, if you're an ambassador of Christ, you're sent from heaven down to earth to represent heaven in the way that you talk, in the way that you live, in the way that you acknowledge God to a lost and dying world. And as an ambassador of Christ, you need to hear this today because this is good news. When you walk into a room, light walks into a room. When you walk into a room, hope walks into a room. When you walk into a room, truth walks into a room. Listen to me. When you walk into a room where there's nobody who knows Christ, you are the most important person in that room. Why? Not because of anything you have to offer, but Christ within you. The same power that has conquered the grave, living and active within you. That shouldn't give you an ego or puff you up, but confidence that you're a representative of Christ. You're representing Christ. See, so many times if we're being honest in our lives, and maybe it even creeps into our church at times, we're not representing Christ, we're representing ourselves. We're representing what other people say about us. And secondly today, as we close, the second question is this. Whose approval matters most? Whose approval matters most? Again, should be Jesus. Answer should definitely be Jesus. We know what the right answer is. So many times we're far more educated in the things of God than we actually are in obedience to the things of God. Whose approval matters most? See, so many times we're living for the crowd. We're living for the validation of others. And it's shallow and it's hollow and it's empty. And if you live for their approval, you'll die at their disapproval. Why do we know this? Because we have this innate desire within us so often to be followed, to be noticed, to be recognized, to be popular, to be broadly liked. Galatians 1:10 says these words. Paul says, am I now seeking the approval of man? Am I seeking the approval of human beings? Or am I trying to please people? He says, if I was trying to please people, I still would not be a servant of Christ. Get that, right? The reality and the responsibility you and I have as ambassadors and messengers of the gospel. That listen, the gospel is good news, but it's also convicting news. And it's news that the world does not radically accept. And so as followers of Christ, Paul says, if you're really living out this gospel, if you're really preaching the gospel, you cannot also be living for the approval of man. It just does not mix. It doesn't blend. Live for the approval of God. Live for an audience of one. Why is there this innate desire in our culture today to not live for an audience of one, to live for the approval of people? Psychologists will tell us this, that in our generation today, there is such this desire for fame because it's rooted in injury and neglect. Kids were raised in environments where maybe their parents didn't recognize them, or maybe they were good parents, but they just had super high expectations. And so we just have this deep hurt. We have this deep longing. We have this deep need. I need to be liked. I need to be known. These micro cravings for fame. And God is here to wake somebody up and say, if you'll keep living for the approval of others, you'll never be happy in this world. You'll always be in a valley, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you find Christ and surrender to him, when you let him fill that void, he will be all that you need, and then you can be his ambassador to a lost and dying world. You can speak to them. He alone, it's about motives. The Lord examines the motives of our hearts. As for human praise, it's never to be sought out. Who are you representing, though? Who are you representing? As for me, I want my life to echo these words, less of me, more of him. Less of myself, more of him. Less about my agenda and my motives, more of him, more to follow him. When everything in culture now says, be famous, be known, be liked, I'm gonna recognize that that desire is rooted in deep pain and injury. It's sin, it's a false promise, it will never deliver. As followers of Christ, we're called to something higher and something better. We're called not to be famous, we're called to be faithful. Faithful to the one who's been faithful to us. When you live for an audience of one, I promise you may never get recognition on this earth, but you'll stand before the Lord one day, and he will not say these words. He will not say, well done, my good and famous YouTube star. Well done, my good and famous CEO. Well done, my good and famous church member. You serve so well. You don't say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now come and experience eternity. To today. Somebody needs to hear this today. When you serve every single week at our church, we are so thankful for you. We so appreciate you. But if nobody thanks you, God sees what you're doing. And one day there's a reward waiting for you in heaven where he knows your name and he knows your story. And you're going to walk into heaven. He's going to say, eternity is waiting from you. Come experience relationship and riches with me. That's the promise. Somebody else needs to hear this today. When you feel like you're doing things that nobody sees, God's going to tell you one day, you fed the least of these. You gave a cup of water to the least of these. They were in prison and bound up, and you came and visited them. Whatever you did in my name for the kingdom of God, I see it. I keep note of it. And one day you're going to receive the blessing of it. Even on this earth, if nobody ever says anything, live for an audience of one. Live for the approval of God upon the voices of people. Live for the voice of the name above all names. Listen, not many people will know my name. Not many people will know my story, but the King of Kings knows my name. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Lion and the Lamb, and he alone is worthy of praise. Come on and give Jesus some praise today. Come on, if you're thankful that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, come on, not for this team, not for this church, but for the name that's above every other name that we're going to live for an audience of one. We bless him in Jesus' name we pray. Lord, when we get a realization of this, that it's never been about us, but it's always for his name and his glories, it's a game changer. Because it doesn't matter what's noticed, it doesn't matter what's seen, it's for Jesus and Jesus alone. David says these words. Remember David, God made him famous, then he stumbled for a season again, and God promoted him again. David says these words. Check out what David says. He says this, not to us, but to your name. Not to us, never to us, Lord. Never may I get the glory or the recognition for your work. Not to us, but to your name. Be all glory and fame and honor forever and ever. And I pray for this church. Pray over this church today when we leave. I pray over you as individuals and family members as you leave. Not to us, not to Calvary Church. May we ever get any glory. Not to your homes. May you ever get any glory. Not your workplace. May you get all the glory. But that you may constantly deflect it in a lifestyle and say, all glory and honor belongs to Jesus. Because he gave me breath and because he gave me purpose and because he redeemed me and saved me, I will constantly deflect glory and honor back to him. I will give him all the praise and all the glory. And God's people said, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.